Hello for Lover, this is Pacific Waves from RNZ Pacific. I'm Susanna Suisuki. Coming up,
they should be paid the New Zealand superannuation because they were denied the right to come here.
A bill that looks to restore entitlements for some Samoans in New Zealand goes through its first reading this week. Also,
There's no reason to be concerned, and we've discussed police motorcycle and also supporting vehicles.
Tonga considers an offer from China, and Māori and Pacific leaders sign a declaration to protect the rights of whales. A private members' bill scheduled to have its first reading on Wednesday this week might restore entitlements to New Zealand citizenship for a group of Samoans born between 1924 and 1949 if it passes. New Zealand Green Party MP Tiano Toyono's Restoring Citizenship Removed by Citizenship Act 1982 bill was chosen last year. Caleb Fotheringham asked Samoan community leader and former National Party Member of Parliament, Anai Arthur Anai, if he's disappointed that the National Party will not support the bill.
I am disappointed, but I don't blame Chris Luxon for saying what he had to say, because I think he was misinformed to make that decision, and since then I've communicated with all members of Parliament that we are not seeking the citizenship. We are looking at other things that we want to look at, and we wanted this bill to go to the Select Committee so that Parliament will hear what the voice of the Samoan people want to say.
So what do you mean that you're not looking at citizenship anymore? Is that a changed position?
It is a changed position for two reasons. One, we know New Zealand didn't accept it in the first place and won't accept it today. But secondly, more important than that, we can't drain Samoa of its population. And that will happen if we have open citizenship as per the Privy Council decision.
So you think that's a valid concern, because that was what the Prime Minister said, that he thought that there was going to be mass migration to New Zealand.
Exactly. That was his thinking. And as I was saying, our change is different. We're not asking for that. We're not asking for the citizenship issue. We are asking for simply this, that the 1982 Privy Council decision said all Samoans born between 24 and 49 and their heirs are New Zealanders. What we're asking, and they were all denied their opportunity and rights to be here by the Muldoon-Longi government at the time and the deal they pulled off with Samoa, which was done within 24 hours of being advised by the Privy Council. And so we're saying those people that were actually born between that time, they should be paid the New Zealand superannuation because they were denied the right to come here, work and be entitled to it.
Okay, and just back on the mass migration issue, I struggle to see that there will be mass migration just because of the date 1949. It seems like the oldest people who will be able to make the move over will be around 74.
75. But it is. The key word here is heirs, right? The Privy Council said those people born between that period and their heirs, which really means everybody.
Right, so there could be, if this goes through, actual mass migration, that is the concern.
Absolutely. All the young people and everybody there have an entitlement, according to the Privy Council decision, to come to New Zealand as New Zealanders. And what we're saying is, we, from Samoa's point of view, don't see that as being the right thing to do right now. The world has changed. Samoa is growing. It needs this population. There's a many young New Samoans educated in New Zealand now in Samoa, making big contributions to government, business and everything else that's happening there. And we all know they can come here and get three or four or five times more money. And if you and I were in the same shoes, we'd do the same thing.
Do you think National may support the bill with the change?
I don't know where their position is. I mean, if they actually read the stuff that I've given them and listen to what I'm telling you now, they should be supporting it. The most important thing here is to support the private member's bill to a select committee so they can hear the views of the people and then make their decision. As it stands, the protocol that was signed with the Treaty of Friendship simply says that both governments have the right at any time to seek re-looking at the situation. And the Samoan people themselves have never been talked to in any way at all. So this time it gives us an opportunity to present our views. whatever that is going to be at the end of the day, the government then makes a decision to talk with the Samoan government and say, well, this is the view of the people. What are we going to do about this protocol that we have in place? Because a protocol gives them the opportunity to do that. This can't be taken lightly. I mean, I can't see, I'd be very surprised if the National Party takes this lightly. All we're asking for, let's get to a select committee so we can listen to what people have to say. That's all at this stage.
New Zealand First, do you think they will support the bill?
I think they will. I mean, let's face it, that Winston Peters is highly ranked in the Pacific by people. They love him, they believe in him and trust him, and he's always had a soft spot in that area. And he understands where we're coming from here as far as this is concerned. This is not a decision. This is just a decision to take it to a select committee. First proceed.
Tonga is considering an offer by China to supply motorcycles and vehicles to its police force in support of the kingdom's security preparations for the Pacific Islands Forum leaders meeting later on this year. It's raised concerns about Beijing's influence in the regional event, but the Tongan government is staunchly defending its relations with the superpower. Whina Whunua has more.
Tonga's Prime Minister Huakava Meiliko confirmed at a news conference in Nuku'alofa last week that he had met with a delegation from China and that an offer was put on the table. When questioned about the appropriateness of a non-foreign member influencing the events, Huakava Meiliko dismissed concerns.
There's no reason to be concerned. China is offering to assist with the hosting of the forum leaders meeting. Then we've discussed, example, the numbers of police motorcycles and also supporting vehicles.
Australian opposition lawmaker Simon Birmingham has publicly called on the Albanese government to do everything it can to prevent China influencing the hosting of the forum leaders' gathering. Huakava Meiliko was also questioned about the issue in Parliament, where he defended Tonga's relations with Beijing, saying both countries had always assisted one another. RNZ Pacific correspondent in Tonga, Kalaf Moala, says the government is worried of any hostility its engagements with China would cause to other regional powers.
The concern here from the government is that this visit was going to be turned into a situation like questions were asked some time ago concerning the Solomon Islands and their engagement with China. And so it seems like that there are obvious tensions that are taking place with the superpowers, the West, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States concerned about Chinese presence in the Pacific.
The frustration of Tonga's government has been highlighted in a Tonga Foreign Affairs Ministry briefing that was leaked to ABC News. ABC says the 5-page strongly worded assessment written by Tongan officials describes New Zealand's response to the Solomon Islands-China security deal as, quote, nothing short of frantic. It says the document states Australia and New Zealand remain far removed from Pacific realities and only echoed condescending rhetoric. Massey University Professor Anna Pauls says it's no secret that Pacific governments are annoyed.
I don't think that the sentiments expressed will surprise anyone in the region, because we've certainly heard similar comments made over the years regarding frustrations towards Australia and New Zealand and the way in which the two countries sometimes conduct themselves in the region.
RNZ Pacific has contacted the Tongan government and New Zealand's Foreign Affairs Ministry for comments.
The Forum Leaders Summit is scheduled to take place in Tonga in August. Former Cook Islands Deputy Prime Minister Robert Tapaitau, who has been convicted on corruption-related charges, is appealing his sentence. Mr. Tapaitau was given 2 years and 9 months imprisonment after being convicted for 3 counts of cheque fraud and conspiracy to defraud. He and other 2 senior public figures were convicted of taking NZD$70,000 in public funds between April 2019 and March 2021. Mr. Tapaitau's lawyer, Norman George, told Caleb Fotheringham there's no existing precedence for such a harsh penalty.
We have filed a notice of appeal to the Court of Appeal of the Cook Islands. Our appeal is based on the manifestly excessive penalty of 2 years and 9 months imprisonment.
Okay, so are you appealing the sentence or are you appealing the whole case?
We are confining our appeal to the sentence.
So you're just looking for a better sentence outcome for Robert Te Pai Tau?
Absolutely, because there is no existing precedent. He was involved in a very small matter involving a travel to New Zealand, and the total budget of that travel was about $2,600, and then another matter with another couple for $3,600 in a hotel bill, and the amount certainly didn't even reach $10,000.
What would you view as a fair sentencing for Robert Te Pai Tau?
Basically, every lawyer will tell you a conviction and discharge. But, no, I think something in the vicinity of 4 to 6 months imprisonment, if imprisonment had to be done. But basically, he's got no previous convictions. He's only involved in that kind of thing for 6 months that he's been a minister. And certainly, he's got a very clean record, background.
When do you hear back, Mr. George, if your appeal is going to go through?
Well, the thing is, normally our Court of Appeals sit twice a year, and it sits in June and also in November every year, because all our judges come from New Zealand. And but this particular year, they said that there won't be any sitting in June this year, so that the next sitting will be in November, at the end of the year. So we have to wait until then. But in the meantime, I have filed an application to release Mr. Te Pai Tau on bail.
When do you hear back about that?
I expect to hear it next week. And if not, I will do my best to hurry them up.
Former Cook Islands National Environment Service Director Ngā Puna, who was sentenced to 5 years alongside Mr. Te Pai Tau, is appealing his case. Former Infrastructure Cook Islands Secretary and wife of Mr. Puna, Diane Charlie Puna, was sentenced to 18 months imprisonment. Her lawyer told Cook Islands News it would be unusual for him to state his client's intentions prior to the expiry date for filing the appeal, which is April 23rd. Traditional Māori and Pasifika leaders have signed a declaration seeking to grant Wales legal personhood. The declaration seeks to protect the rights of Wales to migrate freely, salvage dwindling populations, establish marine protected areas, and set up a dedicated fund for whale conservation. Tiana Haxton has this whale tale.
He whakaputuanga Moana, signed by Aotearoa's Kingi Tuheitia and the Cook Islands Kaumaiti Nui To'u Ariki, aims to give whales, o To'ora, more robust protections that are recognised internationally. Travel To'u Ariki says the entire body of the House of Ariki supported the declaration, acknowledging the cultural significance of whales as well as their role in the ocean's ecosystem. He says as people of the ocean, Cook Islanders have a responsibility to protect the creatures that dwell within.
Because this ocean belongs to the people of the Cook Islands. The whale is very important to all of us. So that's why we stand up to protect the resources, to maintain that, to look after what we have in our ocean, in our EEZ.
Earth Council Alliance Chairperson Lelele Laulu says whales are highly regarded figures in the myths and legends of many Polynesian cultures.
The tokora were the spirits that led the canoes to their ultimate homes. Therefore, they're very, very important to them. Whales are much more revered in Polynesia. So this is what is very significant, that the Polynesian leaders themselves adopted this declaration.
He says the legal personhood will preserve the tohora's mana and integrity by working towards internationally recognised conservation for whales across the Pacific.
But giving them personhood means that now they have rights, now people can sue on their behalf in the courts of law, and they can be much more carefully protected, whereas before they didn't have any rights at all. They were just a bounty of the ocean and open for anyone to do anything with them.
Nan Hauser, who has been researching Cook Islands whales for the past 3 decades, says she is proud of the Indigenous leaders for taking a stand for the conservation of Tora across the region.
It gives a really big statement and personhood to these whales that travel to the Southern Ocean to feed in Antarctica. And I'm hoping that it will be a voice that will protect them.
After 23 years of advocating for legislation, Hauser says this is a step in the right direction. The declaration has also gained significant interest from other countries. A big signing event of He Whakaputanga Moana is expected to be held at the inaugural gathering of traditional leaders in Hawaii in June this year. Both Tō'u Ariki and Kīngi Tuheitia have confirmed they will be attending. They say they are looking forward to connecting with Pacifica leaders to ensure whale songs will continue to resonate throughout the Moana Nui o Kiva for generations to come.
That's Pacific Waves for today. To listen back, head over to rnzi.com/programs. We're also on Spotify, Apple and iHeartRadio. From myself on the RNZ Pacific team, tō whā soifua.